You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
It's ridiculous.
It is right to call it out.
Why? Why? Why?
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to it. Friday edition begins right now. Joining us, host of the pole position in for Barb and Julio all week. It's John Paul right there. Hey, John.
G'day, g'day.
Partner at Upstream Strategy, sometime co-host of this very program, Chris Chapin joins us.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my friend.
Yeah.
And Jaskaran Sandhu.
Better? Good enough. Very good.
Better?
Yeah. I'll let that pass.
I want to
good
nail
enough
this
for
buddy.
A white person.
Senior consultant at Crestview Strategy joining us in studio. Now, do you and Chris know each other?
Yeah, we've worked with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not just the strategy in the
title.
It's not just strategy, just a coincidence.
Great minds think alike, you know, so attract to the same industries.
All right. Well, we're psyched that you could be here today. We're psyched everybody could. There's lots to talk about today, including the PC government today urging Ontario school boards to build prefabricated schools. It's almost an IKEA method. Cash-strapped school boards across the province being asked to consider building modular schools in an effort to save on construction costs. Money that the PC Conservative government says can then be redirected to frontline services. When you look at a story like this, John, do you look at more of the cost saving, or do you look more to what kind of institution your kid is being educated in? Do you worry about them being inside an IKEA end table of a schoolroom?
No, not at all. I mean, the reality is there are many, many homes now that are modular built homes. It's an industry that's come a long way. And if you talk to anybody in that industry, they'll give you a long list of reasons why building something in a controlled environment actually means it is a better built structure. So I don't have an issue with it. I don't think it's something that's going to work in every case at every school in Ontario. But I think it's very fair to say, hey, if this is an option, you should look at it because there are going to be cost savings. I think it's positive to say, let's look around. And if there's a chance to save a few mil here or a few mil there, like the reality is, I don't know about you guys, but when I went to school, we had portables. So This isn't a new concept. It's just an upgraded version. So I'm okay with it.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree completely with John on this one. I think, you know, listen, everybody knows how cash strapped the provincial government is, frankly, every government at every level is. So I think you're not doing, you know, a service to taxpayers if you're not willing to at least look at options like this. I think, you know, I understand parents being concerned for their kids, right? Nobody wants their kids in a portable, or, you know, if that's what this feels like, that's the case. But, you know, I was in a portable when I was in school, and I think it was something parents cared about a lot more than kids did. I think once you're in that classroom, once you're in it at your desk, you're there to learn.
Yeah, Jessica, and I think actually that, you know, it boils down to, for kids, we kind of hate wherever it is that we are being educated, so it doesn't really necessarily matter.
No, I think you want a built environment that's inspiring, right? Like, portables sucked. That was the
portables
worst.
Portables did suck.
It was the worst. Yeah. The worst classes were the ones that happened in portables.
But why? Because it's still the same teacher, the same
curriculum.
It sucked in the winter, let's be honest.
Yeah. And you got to walk outside.
You had to go outside.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I don't want to go outside
built
in the winter.
It's important. Like, yeah, I can live in my unbuilt basement and just stay there for the rest of my life, but I'd rather live upstairs where it's nicer, right? And so as long as you can be cost effective, why not? But I appreciate that Minister Lecce has a lot cut out for him, and they're dealing with some budget issues, obviously, at the province. But at the same time, these are supposed to be your major institutions in your neighborhood.
Sure.
Like, schools are where you're spending most of your informative years. You want that place to be at least decently nice.
All right, moving on. If schooling doesn't go so well and you need a side hustle, turns out you're not the only one. 55% of adults want to turn a hobby into a lucrative side hustle. And according to a study of 2,000 adults with full-time employment, found that more than one quarter of them already have turned a hobby into a side business alongside their career. Is this just the new normal because of costs? Or is this how you keep things interesting and fun?
John Paul?
I think, honestly, you're going to get that group divided into a couple different ways. I think there are some people, they're doing it to make sure they can make ends meet, and I understand that. That's all about grinding. But I think that today, because of technology, and because it's so easy to do so many things now, like if you're an artist, you can sell your stuff online. If you want to do a podcast, you can do one in your kitchen. If you want to be a YouTube star, you only need a phone. Like, there are so many different things you can do now to turn into a side hustle. I think there's a big group of people that they're doing what they love, and they've found a way to monetize it. I got a buddy. He's a fisherman, loves to fish. He's turned it into a side hustle. I had a guy on my show not long ago. He was into paintballing, and somehow he became like the number one paintballing guy on YouTube. And he's like, I didn't even mean to. I was just having fun. So I think there are some people that they go to work, they do their 9 to 5. They don't hate their job, but they have a passion, and now they've been able to turn it into something because they can expose that passion and the results to millions of people at a touch of a button.
Chris, are you one of these people with a side hustle already?
Yeah, I not anymore, but I'm probably, you know, in the chair I am today because of a side hustle.
That's
like
true.
I started building websites on the side and doing work kind of digital marketing focused on the side probably 5-6 years ago when it was just kind of taking off. And that led to a new career path for me and then led to where I am today. So like I think John nailed it on, you know, the advent of technology and how much easier it is to build something nowadays, mm-hmm. right? Like it really has leveled the playing field, whether it's Netflix or just, you know, the guy with the t-shirt company,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you can just do it now. There's so little barriers. And now you see, you know, companies like, you know, Ottawa's success story and Shopify, you know, you can build your own online retailer, you know, in 30 minutes.
That's what's so interesting to me is that it seems like in some ways it's easier for you to get your name out there, Jas Grant, and to actually be successful at that. We had lots of people calling in today talking about how they've either turned their side hustle into a whole other career or now they have a two-track career. So it's obviously has a lot of traction with people.
Yeah, like my formula on this is I love money plus I fear an existential crisis equals side hustle.
Good equation.
Yeah.
That's
for you guys.
Obviously, I like strategy. Yeah. There you go.
I understood there'd be no math.
Yeah, I think, look, it's one of those things I think Chris hits around on the head. It's so much easier to do now. And a lot of us are here because products of side hustles, like myself included. And we're fortunate enough to make it into a full-time career and to be invited as esteemed guest on prestigious shows like this. And that's because we do what we love and it's a passion of ours. And this is not something new, right? Like, I remember my mom growing up, she used to do the whole Mary Kay and Avon stuff because, you know, that she enjoyed that makeup. She enjoyed reaching out to people.
Social aspect of it, maybe.
Yeah, it's super important, right? It gives you meaning in your life. And it's awesome if it turns into a real thing and you have the tools now that you never had before to make it so.
A rise in cyberbullying in the U.S. with new reports today saying that 3 times as many girls report being harassed online or by text messages than boys. This according to the National Center for Education. Their research and data arm this month releasing the latest survey showing an uptick in online abuse, although they did say the overall number of students who report being bullied stayed about the same, with a quote from them saying, there's just some pressure in that competitive atmosphere, that this is all about attention, this social media acceptance. It just makes sense to me that it's more predominant amongst girls. And I guess it makes sense, Marika, to maybe start with you. Do you think as a female online that you get maybe more abuse than maybe I would on my Twitter feed?
I definitely think in TV journalism, there is more online abuse towards women reporters and anchors. And I think that comes with all of the pressures around appearances. You know, even when we go on CP24, it takes 20 minutes for me in the makeup chair. You're in and out in 30 seconds and nobody says boo about how you look. You look great, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But I think that it just comes with all these different expectations that we have for each gender.
And you know, John, with young kids in the house, do your kids talk about bullying?
You know, it's interesting when I think of how my kids interact. I think my daughter is more likely to rat someone out for bad behavior. So I can see how young girls are reporting it more because they're more apt to speak out and say, this is wrong. Somebody help me. I think my boys, just looking at them, they only rat my daughter out when she's ratted them out. Like, other than that, they would never rat her out. And I think that's more or less because they're like, oh, I don't want to cause a problem.
Right.
That's not that big a deal. And they downplay it. So, and that's little brother and sister things. So I can imagine bigger issues, they might do the exact same thing. I also think in a lot of cases, and I don't know if it's the same with every group of girls, but I find the young girls are meaner than the young boys. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Jas Grant, do you think that it is that girls are meaner or is it just guys don't talk about it as much?
I'm almost on both the latter. I don't think guys talk about it. It's almost like society teaches us to internalize everything as guys.
Push it down.
Yeah, push it down and man up. And it's like, that is kind of toxic in a way. And this scares me because I have 2 young kids. I have a boy and a girl. And this type of stuff does scare me a little bit as they're getting older and they're kind of jumping into the world. And I hope in my son's case that if he gets bullied or something like that happens, he comes home and shares it with us. Like my only story of one time, you know, kind of getting a fight with a bully at school, I came home and I had to tell my parents, and my dad's only response was, well, did you punch him back? And obviously I said yes. Yeah. But like, that was it. That was the end of the conversation. And
thanks for the deep dive, Dad.
Yeah, I love you too, Dad.
That's solved.
Yes, it is. But the point being, it's like you're almost encouraged as a boy not to share things.
Yeah.
And I think that has to do a little bit with some of the statistics that came out of this.
And it's hard. I mean, I see, you know, nieces and nephews, and I see, you know, friends and their kids, and you know, they're on the device constantly. And you know that not all of that experience online is a good experience for these young people.
Yeah.
Well, I think the difference too is what girls do online versus what boys do online are two different things. Guys are a lot more active in gaming and whatnot. Yeah. So I think some of the negative talk, they just take it as locker room joshing, chirping each other.
Xbox Live, yeah. Trash
yeah,
talk.
Whereas, yeah. You know, girls are more on Instagram and Snapchat, where that environment can be very negative very quick.
I think so much of it is just the different ways boys and girls bully each other. You know, I remember being a kid, like guys, it was all physical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the bigger guy on the schoolyard would intimidate the smaller, younger kids. Whereas girls, I always found it was more emotional, right? You know, trying to attack and dig at their feelings. And I think the online world just plays so much more into the emotional bullying. So I'm not surprised at all, you know, girls report 3-1 in, you know, cases of cyberbullying, because like guys still deal with it. You know, there's still no doubt boys who bully other boys. But I think there's always, you know, as Jazza Karen said, like, it's just always been kind of drilled into us. It was like, you know, like, it's like his dad said, did you punch him back? You know, it was the same kind of advice my dad would have talked to me about, even though, like, as a principal, he would never agree to it. You know, certainly not admit to it.
But it was not in public.
It was absolutely the same advice. It was like, well, did you get in a fight? Yeah. Well, did you push back? Because that's just how you're told to deal with it. So I think that's exactly what this is. It's just, you know, now you have Instagram and Snapchat to deal with.
All right, changing topics now to the fall, even though it's still,
because who
summer.
Doesn't want to talk about Halloween?
I want to talk about summer. But anyways, there's a petition that wants to talk about Halloween. They want Halloween's date changed to the last Saturday in October instead of October 31st. This is to presumably save parents the hassle of school and work and costume changes and pumpkin carving and candy all before bedtime. But is it really just a ploy for this Halloween and Costumes Association, John, to get more money and sell more things?
Yes, it is. And here's the thing. I can totally buy into the logic of it. As a parent, it would be great to know it's the third Saturday in October. It's easy to plan around. It doesn't involve school. You can avoid sports and all that kind of stuff. However, I got to think some of those people that are nutty, nutty cuckoo about Halloween, and it's like the second biggest day that grown-ups enjoy. I'm not sure they're going to buy it. I think they're going to push back and go, well, when you change Christmas, you can change Halloween. And I'm all for it because I don't care. I don't hand out candy at my house because for some reason kids don't come.
What?
Well, no, they just don't come to my house. I have some.
That's because you don't hand out candy.
In 10 years, one little girl's came up.
He lives on an estate, which is why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true.
They can't get past the gate.
Okay, so Jasker, and as a parent.
I live in a gated community.
Yes.
So they can't get to me.
But I live in real Canada with kids.
Yeah. But my kids, when they go out, they're at the point, like my youngest is 10. So I'm almost completely out of the Halloween.
Okay.
So I'm going to default to, you know what? I don't really care. I'm good with either.
Quickly, Chris?
I hate Halloween, so I could care less.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a monster.
All right, Jasper.
Two kids.
I just want a day where it doesn't rain. My kids' costume has to go over their jackets, and they just look like a really fat Captain America. Like, I don't want that for my kids.
If we could arrange the weather, that's more important. Like, right.
And is Halloween really that sacred of a day that we can't move it? Like, let's be honest with ourselves. No one even knows what it is other than wearing costumes and getting candies. So I'm all game for moving it.
All right. We have solved nothing when it comes to Halloween.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I thank you all nonetheless. Have an amazing weekend. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
Hey, you too.
Right back at you.